The New Era of Modern Missions by Paul Bucknell. Produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom. www.foundationsforfreedom.net. Releasing God's truth to a new generation.
Well, good morning. This is always a very special time to come here because this is not only I have opportunity to spend the 90s here pastoring, but this is also the place God called me to go and start this work that I've been doing now for about 13 years with Biblical Foundations for Freedom. So there's a lot of memories here. You say, well, how did it happen? Start. Well, we started in small groups in this church, and one of the things I said, well, let's think about developing a relationship with God. So we started using the book Experiencing God. And so that's what I did. I was just following along and just doing Experiencing God. And he says, you know, would you like to bear more fruit in your life? I said, well, yeah, but is there a catch to that? You know, I was thinking. But in the end, I said, well, of course, yeah, if it's possible, I didn't see how I could. But that's where it began, back in 2000, when God called me very clearly into this mission. So I, again, really appreciate this opportunity. I know some of you very well. Some of you I don't know too well. And even actually some of you are my good friends, but we don't get to meet too much because of the busyness of life. I'd like to speak on the new era of modern missions, and I'd like to explain a little bit. Now, you have handouts, so hopefully you can follow along if you brought a pen and try to fill in all of those blank lines as we go along. It's really challenged me to think what God is doing at this later time in history of man. And we'll be taking a careful look into that this morning. Maybe brief. Wish I had a little more time here. If we have extra time, we'll have questions. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your marvelous work. You who loved the world. You who gave your son. You who are still working in through all of us, your sons and daughters. And we pray, God, that you might mobilize us for your greater work. Help us to see with your eyes. Help us to love with your heart. Move us, O Lord, for the time is short. But thank you, Lord, for including us in your great work. Help us, Lord, and bless us in this time. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. This is an era of modern missions. And what do we mean by that? Well, what we mean is back in 1800s, there was no such thing as modern missions. It was all considered no missions, old, whatever people were spurred to do by God. But back then, you know, people just didn't know what the world was like. They really lived in their own town. They didn't know about faraway people. Well, they might have heard a few things with the East Asia Trading Company, maybe if you're in Britain or something, and you understand it. But most of those are foreign tongues. People live far away, and you were just indifferent to what was going on. Things began to change, though, with the oncoming, what we now call modern missions, the end of 1700s, and it changed. And yes, back then, everything was unknown, but because the ships started traveling, there began to be more communications. Things began to change. I'd like to share a little bit more about this, and not only modern missions, I want to go a little beyond modern missions, how things are changing, because this is exact opposite to what we now know, what you all know, all those things on the left there. It's no longer true, is it? We're not ignorant. It's not like we're blindfolded to what's happening around the other sides of the world. Well, do you remember who the father of modern missions was? Anybody?
William Carey.
William Carey, right. Yes, you're right. That's good. In 1761 to 1834. He was the father of modern missions, and he went from England he just repaired shoes. That was his job. But he was a pretty sharp guy. He learned languages on his own, including Hebrew, Greek. Later, he became just a great translator of many versions, but he faced a hard life. Let me share a little bit about him. He was the father of modern missions because why? It's interesting. He seemed, Kenneth Latoria, the church historian, said, he seems to have been the first to propose that Christians take concrete steps to bring gospel to the whole human race. I mean, it just wasn't really thought of before. If it thought, but it wasn't followed through. Now, there's a lot of planners, but planners don't necessarily go and actually do it. He did that. And it cost him a lot, but he did actually not only have the vision, but he implemented it. Very, very important steps he took in his life. So William Carey, I was looking at how he was motivated. Very interesting. I didn't know that. He was stirred up along with the worldwide revival that was going on, largely because of David Brainerd's biography. Have you ever written by Jonathan Edwards? So I didn't know he was influenced by that. He was also influenced by some of the news, like Cook's journeys and things like this. So he started praying, started thinking. So in the end, he had the vision of reaching the unreached world, and the difference was his faith. Now, there was a difference, and there were some things going on, but what shaped modern missions was that they were not going to wait for a church or a wealthy person to support them. They just went. And that's what signified the difference. Because they started with 12 poor pastors. They didn't have, when Carey got to India, actually, he couldn't even go with the East Asia Trading Company. They said they were forbidden. You could not work with them. And so he had to go with a Dutch ship and had his wife, had a baby on the way. But he had to find work when he got there. It was so difficult for him. Life was difficult. He lost his 5-year-old child. His wife later went kind of berserk, just couldn't take it. There was a lot of challenges. But one of the things, before he went in 1792, he wrote this short book, An Inquiry into the Obligation of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathens. And it was a powerful book that actually influenced a lot of church, a lot of mindset from that point on. And instead of just being, stories or even just biblical perspective, he combined it using the latest, at that time, geographical, ethnographic information that they had. So it was a very accurate book that propelled people to think further beyond what their own life was doing, what was happening in their own country. And it changed things. One of the things he was known for was the Deathless Sermon. I don't know, I never heard of it either. But I guess it means it just goes on and on. From Isaiah 54, 2-3. It's a terrible name for a sermon, I thought. But these verses, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. This was one of the verses, a couple of verses, that really moved Carey, and with Carey, moved people around him. And it just kept going on and on, thinking of the image of where we are now. Our tent is this large. Well, let's start moving the stakes. Let's start stretching out the actual fabric here. And let's expand. This was God's vision. You see, this is God's heart. How are we going to expand? Because if this is what a command is, to enlarge your tent, Carey said, well, how are we going to do this? And let's start here, because this is what was so important. So Carey, he differed in the sense that he was purposed. He was diligent. He implemented and used the little resources that he had. So let's take a look at modern missions. And you will see on this graph what it meant practically. These are cross-cultural missionaries projected from 33 AD, even back up to 2025. But we can see 2000 right there. What do you notice? Yeah. A startling difference. Now, there's a difference between, I have another chart, but I don't have time for it, but more of how many pastors and how they grew in terms of Christian leaders and those who are working in our home area. Now, these are cross-cultural missionaries, those who actually would go in places that are different from what they can know or what they're used to. Now, we would think during the Reformation, 1600s, that's when modern missions would begin, because the Bible's translated into the common people's language. And actually, you will see there is some growth there. But I would say that began the foundation of it, but it was not yet what really changed things. It was probably the worldwide revivals that were coming out from God's Word that about 100 years later started what we call modern missions. Into 1700s, there we go. And all of a sudden, whew, lots and lots of people willing to go abroad willing to give their lives for the Lord. Do you know what they used to do? Pack everything in a coffin and ship it to Africa because they didn't plan on going home. That's true. What a challenge. They saw the opportunity to serve the Lord and they took hold of it. You see that fire that was within them? You think their parents wanted them to go? You think, no. Prefer not, especially if you're packing in a coffin. No, don't do that. Well, when I went first to Taiwan, we used trunks. So it was different. I'm glad we didn't use coffins. I don't know. That's a different image. From 2013 on, you can see even now we are projected that this era is just moving, soaring ahead. And one of the reasons that it keeps growing so quick is because it's not just the Western world that's awake now, you see. And in fact, if anything, we're going to sleep. It is the world in Africa, the world in South America, the world in India, the world in Asia that is coming alive, and they are going cross-cultural. When I was in Burma, Myanmar, you know, the three seminars I actually, in Bible colleges, an orphanage that I was working with, were actually a tribal group that is in Myanmar that were reaching out to the Burmese. Very interesting. I was shocked. But this is what God has been doing through that tribe in Burma, and this is exactly what God's doing. He's using his people all around the world. They are going cross-cultural. It's not so much even our opportunity now. You see, God's giving the whole world this opportunity to serve him. William Carey said, expect great things from God. This is in your sheet, by the way. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And now it says, some people say, well, the original actually didn't have that from God and for God, but it was later inserted and now it's popular that way. Can you repeat after me? Expect great things from God. Let's try it again. Expect great things from God.
Attempt great things for God.
Attempt great things for God.
Attempt great things for God.
Here you have some actual statistics, and what you see is up to about 800, 1000 AD, after the Muslims wiped off a lot of the Christians in northern Africa, you'll start seeing from 1000 on that about the cross-cultural missionaries, they doubled every year, you know, from 900, 2800, then 4100, every 200 years. But when you get to 1800, you know, it didn't double anymore, more than 10 times the amount. And so you can see that God is actually doing something at this time, very, very significant around this world. And that's what I see. One of the greatest things when I have a privilege to go visit different countries is you see the church alive. You see God working. And you can see God's love that's reached into these people's lives. It's so powerful. I got an email from a pastor in Burma. Runlan is his name. Outside of the capital there. At least the old capital now. But he had a Bible college, orphanage, and church. But the Bible college, he just ran out of money. He couldn't keep it up anymore. And so I asked him, I was there about 3 years ago. I said, well, how's that going? That must have been a real rough time. Oh, yeah, it's been really rough. And by the way, the reason it stopped was because he kept getting more and more orphans. And he just couldn't help the students. There was a huge typhoon that went by. It killed hundreds of thousands of people. It was devastating. And so there's a lot of orphans, and they just started. Everybody has orphans, you know, wherever I go. Tons of orphans. And so he just considered that a need that was right in front of him, and that he just cared for them. But it's a real need. His hopes have started up again. But, you know, this is the kind of faith, holding on, persistence, that we see everywhere. Hard times, not easy, but they're alive and they love the Lord. Expect great things from God. What are you expecting? If you're not expecting, are you attempting? No, of course not. Expect great things from the next video you watch. No, that's where we're really at. But now I want to really expand you. Now, here's a few facts here. 90% of foreign missionaries work among already reached people groups. 10% work with unreached people groups. Of foreign missions funding, 87% goes for work that are already Christian. 12% for work among already evangelized, but non-Christian. 1% for work among the unevangelized and unreached people. It's amazing, isn't it? I just came back from India and Nepal. In India, I was working in West Bengal among the Bengali people, where only 0.1% are Christians. It's the largest unreached people group. It's actually, I think, the sixth largest people group in the world. It's a huge, huge area. Lots of people, and very few know the people. It's interesting, because William Carey first went there, to West Bengal, Calcutta. But somehow, the gospel just instituted and at that time, people were not reaching out. Even though he translated the Bible at that point, it's the challenge that goes on. How do you know? For example, his big plea is this. He asked me, of course, you know, and asked others. But he says he has 19 districts. He has 9 that he would like to appoint as you're in charge of that district. Okay? And you'd be in charge of that region. It makes a lot of sense. The others are not mature enough, but 9 are. He says it will cost him $100 a month to support one of those workers. But right now they have to be farming or whatever. They can't, you know, fully get into it. And that's very true with a lot of the world. But just $100, $1,200 a year, you could support a full-time missionary working in an unreached area. Doable? Of course it's doable. But somehow, you know, all the finances of the world going to the places where a lot of Christians already are. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. American Christians spend 95% of offerings on home-based ministry, 4.5% on cross-cultural efforts, and already reach people groups. 0.5% of that funding to reach the unreached. And if anything, I would encourage you to start being more focused, more trained, alert to where you can funnel your money to reach the unreached, because that's the only thing that's going to make a key difference. Not if unless you study up, you're just going to follow the crowd. Where's the crowd? Not where it really needs to be. Why? Because the Lord is interested right now in finishing up the Great Commission. I think he's finishing up the work. We're about there. About there. I go to the farthest remote places, and there's still the church. I go to these places in Orissa that were just persecuted, and here you get 300 pastors come out. I said, well, this isn't unreached anymore, but they're going out, they travel to get there, and they go out, and where they are reaching are unreached, and they reach in different languages. Well, I would just think about some differences. Okay, we talked about the old days. Hudson Taylor. Okay, we heard about him. The Dumfries, that was a ship, left her moorings in Liverpool on September 19th, 1853. How long did it take for Hudson Taylor to step onto the land, China? Huh? A month. How about 5+ months? Can you imagine being on a ship so long? Oh, I tell you. I mean, I travel 2 days and I complain. I shouldn't complain. This is a nice Calcutta new airport, international airport. See, that's what we're used to today. Now, I'm talking about the era beyond modern missions. Modern missions began with what? You know, that all those huge changes, they had great endurance. Today, it's a little more comfortable. A lot of empty seats there, and you're not squished on a tiny ship where you can't understand languages, maybe, or the crewmen, and you have your wife there, and, you know, she just had a baby, or what, you know, trying to learn the language, and then you're in a storm. Very, very different. So, as we think about time, you know, the cost of trip, the wear on the person, lack of understanding. I just want to show you a short clip from a video. This is, you probably understand what it's taken in. This is auto, it's called. Oh, yeah. I was in the back seat. Northern India. Thank you. So, CPCT, what does it stand for? I actually wrote that down. I'm just trying to extend your mind a little bit on what is actually happening. Church Planter Catalyst Team. Here's $6,000. You could, with $6,000, the pastor says, you could get a car. We could have a team of 6 to 7 volunteers that would go out into the unreached district, show films, pass out tracts, and spread the gospel. This is his vision. $6,000. Are there people to volunteer for that? Yes, all over the place. But they don't have the basic equipment to do it. See where life is at? It's very different. But to reach the unreached, is it that hard to get there? No, not really. Not really. If you're intentional. If you're intentional. Communication is another thing that changed. Well, you know about that. James Fraser, he started the idea of what we call a missionary praying for you. And by the way, I do have a prayer letter downstairs or a sign-up sheet if you want to join our prayer letter. I really value your prayers. But anyways, he was working in southern China, and he formed small prayer bands. He would write a letter, and it would take months to get there. You know, and you know the people back, you know, they started praying for James Fraser, and he was very discouraged, depressed, almost gone home several times. You know, it's very, very difficult. But you know, the old days. You know, when I was even in college, I would maybe only call my girlfriend Linda, maybe only twice. Things are changing from snail mail, you know, to email. And everything has become instant. Skype. I get to talk to my wife while I'm in India. Is it amazing? It is amazing. So, I mean, the whole world is changing. And this, by the way, is changing missions. What we're thinking about modern missions is actually evolving so quick. It's becoming something totally different than what we know. Because you can have live, instant conversations. I want to give just a short picture of that. I just got home, and bang, an email from India. I just missed this typhoon. It turned away from Calcutta, but it hit a lot of people that I was actually even training. When they went back, this is what they found. Please pray and share with others, as few of our believers' families are suffering a lot due to the effect of the hurricane in western eastern Midnapur, right outside Calcutta. It seems that the water will stay for the next 15 to 20 days. Many were living in temporary camp and now returning to their houses. Just in our state, 400,000 people had to leave their houses and lived in a school building or in a high place. And this is him writing in the email. He sent the pictures, okay? Three of our believers' houses are damaged very badly. In fact, they need to be built another one. As you know, that in the villages, our people mostly live in houses made of mud wall. I really do not know what to do, but what we decided is at least to distribute some rice, dal, and other necessaries to those houses, as they won't have any job for one next month or so till the water level grows. Okay, so you see how the world is changing, right? Communication, instant. Flood. I know about flood. He lets me know. And same thing for you. You know, your contacts, people you know. This is such a huge, huge difference than what it used to be, where the missionary was working on alone, would never go home, never see anybody, never talk to anybody. Maybe it would take 3 months for Hudson Taylor to pray, Lord, provide that money I need right now. And it comes, someone's 3 months ago, you know, he's praying now, but someone sent it 3 months ago and God provided for him. Well, that's the life that they lived. I want to take this a little beyond just things that we know about and talk about training resources for self and ministry. You know, back then, if you had a book, you were pretty rich because books were expensive. A Bible was expensive. The printing press, printed, started in the 1600s or something. But, you know, in terms of having those things and then having one of those big Bibles, it's so different than our pocket Bible or now e-Bible that we have with as many versions as you want. Life is so different. And this is what I find here. When I'm thinking about e-books, video training, mobile phone, Bible apps, internet, right? Don't those all change the picture? And is this not change? I mean, I'm not talking about changes from, 20 years ago, books started becoming more popular 30 years ago. But now, just in the last 5 years, I still remember someone from ACF, right? He came over and he had one of the mobile phones that CMU was experimenting with. And, you know, it was just a novel thing. When I was just pastoring here, just 90s, right? The things have evolved so much. To what degree? To the degree that when I go to southern Malawi, where this is one of the most poorest countries in the world, southern, away from the capital, down in nowhere, you have high schoolers walking with a phone, talking on a phone system that China set up, so inexpensive, and, you know, can even actually touch the web. It's just amazing. You say, well, they're so poor. Yeah, but they got a phone. But they're really poor. Yeah, the phone. And nowadays in America, they say a teen rather have a phone rather than a car. You know, it's just got to communicate. You know, that's the way it is. That's life. Very, very interesting. Wasn't that way when I was young, but it certainly is that way now. I want to share with you some of the things that where we're more involved. I was teaching. This is the third seminar up in Nepal. We were borrowing the Tech Institute. It was during vacation time. Three things, Biblical Foundations for Freedom. We focus on developing materials, distributing them, and penetrating deeper into the lives. And the reason, we want to equip God's people so that they can finish God's work. So let's think about content. God has given us lots of resources in lots of different areas. We have things on the Bible, but we have things very practical, like on marriage, changing things. This is a lot of seminars now. People are asking me to speak on marriage, even cross-cultural. And it was a great challenge. But it is something that is so rewarding because within a few days, you see these couples break down, change, and be bonded together to serve the Lord together. They had actually none of that before. It's just so radical. So radical. You see the tears in their eyes and hear their testimonies. We have a focus on discipleship. If you're on the left, we have resources on for new believers, for those challenges that we learn, how to overcome temptations, and then how to develop in our own service, our skills, and our deep development with the Lord. These are resources that we have. And that the reason these resources is to bring God's truth, release God's truth, to touch people's lives. We have God's Bible. I mean, we all have the Word of God, right? You have all access? Yes, that's not a problem anymore. But has the Word of God got access to your heart? That's the key. How do you get it in there? How do you get God's Word to burn in you so you're changed? No longer are you anxious and worried, which used to petrify you. You know, no longer are you so down because you're lonely. You know how to fight that. You see, God's Word has a way to speak to that, but we've given up as a whole on this, and so we walk around as, you know, wounded soldiers, not able to function anymore, not have a vision for what God is doing. That's English materials, but we also have a lot of bilingual materials. Anybody know where Telugu, what country that is? No? No, it's Telugu. It's also spelled T-E-L, not Talagog. That's India. How about Chichua? Malawi. How about Luganda? That's a little easier. Is a hint? Uganda, yeah. Okay. All right. So Amhara, how's that one? That's another one. Ethiopia. Okay. But, you know, all of a sudden, you see, with changes that are coming on, these people can take their phones and open up to listening to MP3, to reading handouts, downloading things. It's all possible now. Because the pastors that I talk, not all of them have internet, but they have internet cafes. They all have access to these things, and they're much cheaper than in America. Much, much, much cheaper. So it's on their level where they are all accessing it. It's amazing what God is doing around the world. If I look at the website, you know, we have countries from all around the world, and you say, well, where are all those countries? I don't even know lots of them. But, you know, it's a challenging to say, we're talking about distribute, right? How do you distribute the power of God's Word, the message of God's Word out? Well, the web is there. I don't believe it's going to be too free anymore to do that in many years. I think things are changing. The web is going to be closed down. It's possible, yeah. So we won't be able to do that with Christian material. But I'm trying to think how we can go deeper and change things in people's life, provide that material, even if the web goes down. So, well, here's one example. In 24 days, I was charting. Okay, here's one HTML page. It's actually chapter one of our biblical parenting book. Some of you know about that book. Viewed 1,878 times. Yeah, that's neat. People in the Spanish-speaking countries are interested in that. A Hindi MP3, 563 times. It's great. It's great. So, you know, you have that framework by which you can work. All right, you got the materials, but that's one thing. You got distributing, right? Now, I wanted to share a little bit on Flipboard, for example. New opportunities. How many know about Flipboard? Anybody? Only one. Okay, so you can make your own magazine now. You can make whatever you want. I made my own magazine for my own materials. So discipleship, overcoming anxiety. You got magazines on different things. You find other things, you can add it to your own magazine. So it's pretty powerful, and you access it back to your webpage because you've got that foundation. You can just take your videos, the articles on, well, I'm going to show marriage here. You can have a marriage magazine. Here's one, Pool of Water, Hope for Damaged Marriage. You click it, we'll go right to our website, all within that app. So cool, so neat. You have marriage videos there that you can look at, Chinese resources, we have those. But see, the penetration, how are you going to get there? There's so many different ways now that we can reach the people out there in all different parts of the world. It's no longer limited, you know, just to us. In the Western world, we got to think global, global. Think about videos and MP3s, handouts, all sorts of things to make it available to others. So this is Flipboard. This is LifeCore. I'll be just showing you quickly here before we go on. Just a book I wrote on overall and training, how it develops, how Christians develop, and how training is an important part of all of that. Flipboard's one main. Vimeo hosts that take movies has helped me so much. Before, I had to have them all on my computer, all on my own network, and it just overloaded it. I couldn't handle it. And then, you know, you have YouTube, you have Vimeo coming out. And so we just, you know, have almost 500 different, some of those are kid, my family movies. But we have almost 500 movies. A lot of them are just different, bilingual. Now you have them in, what was it, Visaya, which is in Philippines. You have Burmese, you have Amharic in Ethiopia. So these videos are there, you know, for them. And it's not the only means we're distributing, but I'm saying this becomes a foundation upon which we can penetrate deeper. Because once you have the materials, once you have them distributed, then you can just take other means and go deeper. Work toward the end of our message. Just summarizing, for example, our materials, I told you that we break them up into three categories: discipleship, biblical, family. Under discipleship, we have new believers, young believers, mature believers. Resources on each area. One of the seminars, I often D1, I call it discipleship one. It shows where you are as a Christian and how you, wherever you are at, can grow the next step. And it is a powerful tool not only for you to wake up where you are, have grown from, where you are supposed to go. Isn't it amazing? You can actually see where you should be. Secondly, as a leader, you know where people should be, and you start identifying where they need to grow from. They're powerful resources. It's not just books, not just other resources. But you know the difference with our books. We are able to get them out there. Most of the information you have today is boxed in. It's closed. It's, you can't send it overseas. You can't do this. You can't have someone else translate it because all of the copyright problems. One of the reasons God's called us up is to be able to distribute them, make them go beyond the lines because we hold the copyright. You see the difference? And it really opens the doors. When I can present a library to these pastors, I mean, an actual library, they can just grow, they can learn. Where before they might have two books on their shelf. That's all. But they have now access to gigabytes of data, information data. Really, really powerful and helpful for the people. So one of the things you see, we started with CDs, grew to DVDs, grew to flash drives. Now we're on the cloud. So the one link I could send someone in country of Nigeria, and I do. You have access now to all the resources, including things maybe that's also in your language. In Ethiopia, he has access to all these resources. No charge. See? So that's what it means by in the cloud. It's all resources. You can individually download what you want when you want. This is what we call the seed project. So you just think of a little seed, taking a little link, putting it somewhere far away, and letting it grow up. You see, we have to go beyond what we now know as the web. You know, there's pressures upon it to constrain what is being said. There's an anti-Christian spirit that's growing stronger, a more strong governmental hand. I don't think if United Nations grabs hold of it that they're going to be very nice and polite or considerate toward the biblical perspective. I think there's challenges behind the scene. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Pornography, that's another issue. They make a lot of money from that. That'll always be there. But biblical materials, maybe, maybe not. So it's a seed project that we're working on. When developing countries, we just pass that out without cost. I'm purposely trying to find people to pass it on in those countries, so to missionaries and otherwise. So are you a world Christian? You're thinking about the world. Is your heart vibrant? You know, expect great things from God. Well, how is God going to use my life? You know, God wants all the nations to reach. He's reaching all the nations. He commanded us to reach a nation. Jesus is coming soon, which only means what? He has a lot of work to do in a little time, and he's looking for workers. There's a lot of, you know, we just heard about the great number of new churches developing. That's true. I can confirm that in India and Burma and South America. Lots of new pastors, lots of new church planters, evangelists, so eager. But they are not trained. I mean, by not trained, they often don't even have 1 year of correspondence school about the Bible. They just don't have much. But God has called them. So we try to come in there and supplement them so God can train them up and use them to finish their work. The key to reaching the nations is further enabling God's leaders around the world to make godly disciples. Yeah. To make godly disciples. Equipping them. Enabling them that they can effectively serve. How are we going to be part of that? I don't know. That's your own. I have one my own journey. You got your own journey. But expect. Seek God. Make sure that those things actually happen. If you're interested in, you know, you have any help with helping with RSS feeds or editing English or translation or designing websites, making an app, we have some volunteer spots for you, okay? and even possible internship. So there's a place you can sign down or you can talk to me later upon that. But it's a lot of challenges here. If you think about modern missions that started when? Let's say 1800, and this is 2000. And say the Lord's coming back in 10 years. What are we going to be doing? How are we going to be using our resources to work with the Lord and what he's doing? I just have a few minutes for any questions.
Thank you for opening my eyes for this. At the early beginning, you said 0.5%. Well, for the unreached, would you mind asking who are the unreached people?
Thank you. Unreached are actually those people that there's no church nearby them to share the gospel. So there's no viable Christian witness among them. It is differently defined, but that's basically it. If you went, there's no Christians there. There was just a story about how someone came to know the Lord. He was my pastor's friend. He was down in the hospital. He was sick. This couple said, "No, you know, God spoke to me when I was in the hospital. It was a Christian hospital. I just believe." And he went back up to northern India where he lives. But he's the only one. He has to travel, I think, 8 hours before he finds a church. Is it 8 hours? I might be a little wrong in there. But he has to travel a long ways before he finds a church. So he wants to just meet and start meeting, even though he's opposition from people near him. So this is unreached. Other questions? Good. Yes?
So it seems like you have a lot to do, obviously. continually work on resources. How do you stay current with things like, you know, technology or these other, you know?
I feel like I'm falling down a hole. I try to teach myself how to build an app, and I wish I had a little more time. I don't think it's a learning curve, but I forget quickly. So I try to get my kids to do it, but they started doing better than I, but no interest. So it's a challenge. It absolutely is. I just reshaped some of my resources to make it more streamlined, but I messed up all my RSS feeds. I got to go back. I got to change them all, you know, and make sure they're linked up proper. I don't stay up to date, but I try to keep projects going, try to keep some development of materials going. That's why I'm seeking help.
And where do you find the translation help? Is it just the contacts we have in other countries? They send out?
It's largely that, yes. They will often volunteer. Sometimes I give a little money. When I go over, they create handouts. But a lot of it is bilingual video and audio, so that is quicker. With Streamflow as an application I use, we just copy everything, and it's both languages are right there. Yes, way in the back.
How dangerous is it for Christian missionaries to do their work in primarily Muslim countries?
I haven't worked in Muslim countries, okay? Not mostly. Some things are getting more dangerous as it is. I can't really answer your question. All I can say is, well, I've been in some Muslim areas, like you get southern Philippines and other things. And there are, at times, it's worse than other times. Always, whatever we hear is usually a lot worse than it is. But still, there's a lot of precautions. I've decided in the end, I've gone to places where, you know, I get caught, a couple of van loads of pastors coming to our seminar, get pulled over by the police, and put in jail because they think that they're going to cause a riot. So I don't have the Muslims, but I have other issues that we face. So I try to find a peaceable time when pastors can relax and let the sheep be there and attend the seminar. That's my main focus and challenge when I go overseas. Father of modern missions is? Hey, you're learning something. What year did he write that book? Wow. You are good students. And did you see that bottom question? Yeah, that's the hardest, isn't it? How are you going to expect great things from God? Not little things. He's a great God. And I want you to come up with a great expectation. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a God who wants us to seek, ask, knock. Lord, we pray that we would be having a heart full of expectation for what you can do, even through our lives. Lord, we're all just nobody, but you can just take someone small, like William Carey, who repaired shoes, or Paul Bucknell, who was born in the Everglades. And you can change our lives, Lord, to be used of you for your glory. Everyone here, Lord, I know you have their own journey. And we pray, God, that you would give them a world vision. That's your vision with your heart. Stir them up, O Lord, that they might not find themselves without anything to present to you when they meet up with you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for all those faithful people that work so much harder than any of us. We thank you for those people on the far-flung fields. Strengthen your messengers, oh, Lord. Bless their marriages. Help their children. Oh, Lord, provide for them. That all the more as you raise them up, oh, Lord, that they will be equipped to finish your great work. Thank you, Lord, that you're coming soon. Thank you for your redeeming work all around the world, not partial to anybody. Thank you, Lord. Bless us all now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
This concludes a message on the new era of modern missions by Paul Bucknell, produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom, www.foundationsforfreedom.net, releasing God's truth to a new generation.